fall is probably my favorite time of year, my absolute favorite, probably because I was a student for so long. It's about new beginnings and, you know, getting another shot at, boy, I did the school thing well, I'd still be there if I could figure out a way to get someone to pay me to do it. Love fall. It'd be a teacher. Love fall. New beginnings. And my birthday's in the fall. Well, as I've joked to a lot of people, my birthday's November 3rd. In Massachusetts, my birthday's in the fall. Here, it's in some other kind of season that we call brown. Some people call it gray. And my favorite colors are fall, aren't they? Reds and russets and pumpkin and goldenrod and, of course, my favorite, orange. Thank you, Michelle. You must have gotten some memo. There's an early photo of me, which, of course, is in black and white, but there are a couple of color-tinted ones. I'm preschool, 4 years old. And there I am in a black dress with mustard tights and little bitty mustard flowers. And I can't tell you the number of times as a child when I would say to my mother, Mom, why don't I get to wear pink? Like all the other girls. And she'd basically say something like, honey, you are just a mustard kind of girl. You know, even then I was a fall child. You know, you put me in baby blue and baby pink, and it just, you don't see that often, even now. My mother was right. If you open my drawer, the kids get a hoot, because I probably have like 8 turtlenecks, you know, varying from, you know, this kind of cream to mustard, to orange, to russet, to red, and of course I keep them all together. Anyway, I won't get into the OCD thing, but, it's the rainbow thing, you know, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. I mean, don't you all keep your clothes that way? Enough of that, I'll stop there. It's so cool that God created colors, and that God created the color orange. Now, I took a walk on Monday. It was beautiful. I really know that there aren't too many days that are just lovely. You can be outside and not be cold. And so I took a walk, and I was just grooving on the oranges, and I thought I would be creative, and I'd make an ode. I thought I'd make an ode to orange, you know. I'd write a little poem while I was walking. It's very difficult to write a poem for orange. I'm not much of a poet, but orange just doesn't rhyme really well with orange. You know, like you start out, you know, you're in your head and you're walking and you say, well, you know, there once was a girl who loved orange. You know, you're already in trouble. So I tried it a different way. You'll see, I'm not a poet. Orange the girl loved from the start. It had a close place in her heart. God made that hue. It is better than blue. From her wardrobe it never would part. I'm not a poet. So, just wanted to throw a little creative there. I was like a little vulnerable there. Do you consider yourself a creative person? Do you consider yourself a creative person? Are you an artist? Do you have a house full with little art supplies or things you pick up as you're wandering? I have some friends, you know, we can't go on a walk without bringing home rocks in the shape of hearts or other interesting things. Or picking up pine cones. Are you always picking things up, thinking, I'm going to do something with that? Or are you at the other end of the spectrum? Did somebody tell you once you can't draw? Or did somebody tell you once, you know, when you sing in the choir, just mouth the words? It's amazing how fragile the creative part in us is, how fragile the artist in us is. But there is a creative urge in all of us, though not all of us are comfortable with that idea. But I'm going to help you today and help all of us in our walk toward God. Particularly for those of you, and you know, would you indulge me? Is there a choice? I'm moving towards 100% here, okay? So, but see at what point you can jump on the wagon here, okay? So how many of you have a house filled with art supplies? Raise your hand. Who picks up things along the road and says, I'm going to do something with that? No, keep your hands up. We're adding to it here. We're going to keep going. Okay. How many of you have ever painted your... Who paints their living room and then paints it again? The Burrells. Oh, you've got to put that up there. All right. Who rearranges the furniture in their house? Yeah, we're getting there. Who likes to work in the garden? Keep going. We're almost to 100%. Who has ever doodled while sitting in a boring class? Okay. Anybody laugh? Anybody haven't got it? Michelle, you're holding out.
I am.
You've never doodled.
You know, there have to be appreciators in this world.
And you have never doodled. All right. Help us. We've got to get around here. What else? Have you? Did you have children? There's music. I'm reading a book called Scribbling in the Sand by Michael Card. Scribbling in the Sand. It's amazing how books come to me. On Christ and creativity. He's a singer-songwriter, also now an author. And he said this. He says, From the old lady who fills a page with doodling as she talks on the phone, to the man who welds together dinosaurs in the middle of the desert out of wrecked car parts. All around us are examples of this mysterious, powerful urge to create, to be creative, to live out somehow, to respond to the beauty of our creative Father. He says, we're driven to create at this deep, wordless level of the soul because we are all fashioned in the image of God, who is first and foremost, an artist. And I'm going to make this case. I'm going to get Michelle on board, where I'm working hard. But think about it. From the very beginning, God does not reveal himself as a judge or a lawmaker. How does he first show up? As an artist. In the beginning, God created. And those of you, I wish Ben were here, not even as a baseball player. That was the joke in our house. In the big inning. No, not as a baseball player. As an artist. And every day, God would step back from his canvas and he'd take a look at all he created and he would declare it to be good. And like an artist, he started first with light and darkness and then the elemental forms of earth and air and water and then more complex and more complex and more complex forms. Finally gets to the masterpiece of the entire work, which is humanity itself. And his image is woven into the fabric of who we are. His beauty, which is part of his essence, can be seen in all creation. That's why I love fall. It just jumps out at me. And we live surrounded by this beauty. And I hope to always be impressed by it. I was emailing one of our people recently, and she's saying, you know, I wanted to move up to Sugarloaf, but my husband said, no, let's stay down in Southern Maine so that when we come up to Sugarloaf, it'll be special. And I emailed and I said, well, you know, that's great and all, but I swear, it's still special every day. You know, I come down that Remington Road, and the big loaves are out in front of me, and I hope that I never stop appreciating that beauty. I'm always impressed by it. But that divine beauty demands a response, calls out to us to respond. Now we'll come back to that later. The earliest stories of the Bible include this compulsion to create. Think about Noah. What did he create? An ark. A remarkable project for an event that had never happened before. Talk about being an under and ridiculed artist. Poor guy. Those of us of a certain age think of Bill Cosby every time we think of Noah and the ark, right? Poor man. His creativity is an obedient response to the call. And you can go on. Person after person in the Bible were responding. We don't often think of them as artists. We don't often think of them as creators, but they are. Not all creativity is used well. Sometimes it's abused. And thank you, Michelle, for reading that story of the Tower of Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel. These people have a compulsion to create, but it has nothing to do with obedience. And what do they build? They build this massive tower because they want to be like God. They want to get up there. So God, of course, responds and says, oh, no, you don't. Because he says, he realizes, if they can accomplish this, there is nothing that they will not be able to do. There's a whole theology that we can't get into. But that was creative community gone wrong. Creativity was motivated out of selfish ambition and self-focus and putting themselves ahead. There was no obedience there. No response to God's beauty there. It was selfish art. And there's selfish art out there for sure, but it's not darkly redemptive. And I have to imagine the end of the day it's all not ultimately all that satisfying. I want to contrast that. You know the story of the Tower of Babel, perhaps. But you're not going to know this story. From Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 to 11. And in this story is a little-known gentleman, a little-known man called Bezalel, or Bezalel, depending on your pronunciation. And God is instructing Moses to build a worship space, to build a tent of meeting. And this is a very short story here in Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oliam, son of Azamak, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the Ark of the Testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. These are to make them just as I commanded you. Bezalel, did you pick that up? He is the first person in all of Scripture to be described as being filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the first one. All the way in Exodus 30, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have no idea what he did before he was called out this way, but now the Holy Spirit is upon him to create, to be an artist, to respond to God's command to create beauty. Bezalel the artist. The New Testament makes it clear that those who have committed their lives to Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. That same creative spirit. What an awesome opportunity for us. Awesome opportunity. Those of who have come to Christ, it's not like some people get this Holy Spirit. Everybody gets it! And in that desire, that compulsion, that drive to create comes under and in the love of God. Now, I have understood for a long time that we are creative beings because God is creative and we're made in the image of God. I got that. You know, we're made in the image of God. God creates, we create. I got that. But I haven't stopped to realize that creativity, in whatever form it is, creativity is also, can also be, is also worship. Follow the logic. Creativity is worship. because creativity is a response to life. And that life is ultimately a gift from God. So therefore, in a mysterious way, creativity and the gift of creativity and responding in creativity is worship. Creativity is a response to the divine. I thought I was just collecting rocks. I thought I was just collecting pine cones. I thought I was just painting the living room. I thought I was just cooking for my family. No. You're responding to that creative urge within you to be a creator, to make something new, to make something beautiful. And that comes from God. So what does this have to do with building bridges? That's what we've been working on this fall. Building bridges between the church community and the rest community. And I just want to point out to you that this evening of art on Tuesday night is going to help us to engage with the creative impulse that God has placed in every person. I told some of you that have been here the story of how this art evening has come about in a very strange and unusual way. But tapping into this creative urge can be a bridge by which we can draw people near to God, invite people to draw near to God who is the first artist. So if you have any artistic inkling at all, or you even just want to come check it out, we're going to have Tuesday night. Now, I have to tell you, I'm stepping way out on a limb here on this Tuesday night game because I have no idea. I can run a kids program. I can run a Bible study. I have never invited a bunch of artists or people who would like to be creative together. So I just want to let you know, I'm creating, I'm taking a risk here. I'm moving way out of my comfort zone. And way out of my comfort zone to view myself as an artist. I do not view myself as an artist. And I'm working on this book. And I'm working on my good theology. I'm a performer. Y'all know that. I'm a performer. I will sing and dance for you. But I don't usually see that as art. I usually see that as taking something else that some other person has made. Some other person has written a song. Some other person has written a play. And I'm just going to execute that. I don't often think that I'm creating something in that. Because it's like somebody else already did the creating. I'm just making it happen. And visual art. I'm not a visual artist. I'm the person who always sticks to abstract. So that it's not supposed to look like anything. Because anything I do doesn't really look like anything anyway. I used to be a dancer. And that wasn't art. But that feels long ago and far away. So I don't perceive myself this way either, but the more I read from God's Word, the more I understand who God is and what He's calling us to be and how He's calling us to live in our lives, there is within us this urge to make something. And that really, deep down, is a response to what God has done. So I'm inviting you and our community to a new place to let go that creative impulse within, and this winter to have more and more kind of opportunities, not just on Tuesday, but just in how we think and view ourselves in the world. To give that creative voice expression, to encourage the people around us to create. This summer, I was at a music concert in Rangeley, and we were at the Episcopal Church. That's the venue they often use for concerts and things in Rangeley. And I happened to be sitting next to the Episcopal priest. His name is Jeff. And I don't know him very well. He's relatively new in town. So I sat down next to him, you know, in the back row. So the pastors sit when they don't have to be at front. So we sat in the back row, and I looked over, and he had this sketchbook that was like 3 inches thick, and it was filled with doodles. He doodles at everything. His wife tells me. He doodles at concerts. He doodles at board meetings. He doodles while he's watching the television. All the time. Pages and pages and pages and pages, and I kind of flip with what he's looking at. He's not making a big deal about it. Oh my gosh, it was incredible. I mean, it was incredible what this man was doing. And I was fascinated. That was his way of being in the world, kind of giving release to that creativity. I had just never seen anything like it. I mean, I could use scratch paper and throw it away, you know. Anyway, we have a minute here. I want to awaken or recall that creative urge in you. And We're gonna do just quickly a little experiment that I'm not doing. This is not what Tuesday night is about, by the way. This is not what Tuesday night is about. But I love this little exercise because it levels the playing field between those who have an artistic sense of self and those like myself who do not and who are wary and lack confidence. So I'm gonna describe the process. We're gonna do it. It'll take about 3 minutes. We'll be done. You took a chenille wire, otherwise known as a pipe cleaner. And I just want you to hold that for a minute. I want you to relax. And we're going to have a little time of quiet, very short. And I want you to invite God to join you in creating something. To invite God to join you in creating something. So there's no pressure here. Because God's going to show up. And the jumping off point would be just ask yourself, how can this wire express my life with God at this moment in time? How can this wire help to express my life, my spiritual journey, whatever you want to call it, with God at this time? We're going to have a short moment of silence, and then we'll process this together and see what it is. So, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to see what happens. Here are the ground rules. Sharing is not mandatory. We wouldn't have time for everybody to share anyway. But there is blessing in sharing, if you like. There is no comment to be made about what people create, except gratitude. And the nice phrase is, thank you for sharing that. What I would like you to do is if people could just hold up their little creed. Just hold it up so people can see it. Just take a peek. Take a peek around. What you notice is that they're all different. You notice that? They're all different. That's right, and they kind of make you smile. Is there anybody who would like to share a page with them when they were asked to do This one's diamonds.
Okay. And it's ups and downs, and then life's ups and downs. That's why it's
going in circles. Going in circles till you hook up with the water.
The pink and blue, male, female, man and woman, created by God, joined together, form one.
Yourself to us first and foremost as an artist, a lover of beauty, a lover of creating something out of nothing. That for you, it is not idle to be in a place with color or texture or rocks or cooking or painting the living room or painting the sanctuary. That deep within us there is this call. And Lord, within our community there is this call. This mysterious thing. Help us to see that that which is within us, in whatever way it manifests, is responding to your beauty and responding to your invitation. Lord God, you are an amazing God, and you continue to call us out, loving us where we are, but never leaving us where we're at, and that you are calling us and creating in us all the time. And that you are healing all the time. That you are working in our bodies. And we pray that you work in our bodies to increase our immune systems. To strengthen us, body, soul, and mind. So we may live this life and live it to your calling. So we may take our days and make them meaningful. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling. We think of those who are struggling with cancer and other serious illness. Wendy's dad, my dad, Barbara's sister, Donna, folks there in Linda's family. Gosh, it goes on and on. Chris Shipper, Karen. Make yourself real to them today. And to Ron, down in the hospital in Portland. Make yourself real to him today. And heal his body. Come alongside the Bacon family in their sadness and grief. We trust you to be there. With Jason's family, Jason now in Iraq, and what you will do in and through his life where he is now. We pray for Mel and Louise. We think of Pat and the selling of her store and you watching over her life with care. Lord God, for all of the big pictures and the little details, you show us that you care. So Lord, call us together and make us one by your Spirit as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our final hymn this morning is This Is My Father's World.